We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dynasty Recast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network and our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Make sure to tune in to the middle of the show for you to get your 100% deposit match on your first deposit at Underdog, coming in a little bit later. Now, we're back. We're better than ever. Actually, not better than ever. We're missing Dan again. Dan's got a golf tournament, #golf tournament. And so, therefore, it is your boy, Nathan Powell, Nate Dog, Nate Dizzle, all those fun things on the microphone. And you know me, when Nathan comes, half prepared for a solo show, we get into a very, simple theme. And so, you know what time it is? We did this a few months ago. And now we're going to do it today. I'm recording on July 5th, 2022. On July 5th, 2022, we're going to do 32 teams, 32 takes in roughly 32 minutes. So we're brought to you by Underdog. These facts should be great for your Underdog fantasy teams. And so they're not facts, they're mostly opinions, but we will get into the show, 32 takes in 32 minutes with 32 NFL teams. So we're going to start off, we're going to go alphabetical order and by conference. So we'll start off with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to try and not have the same exact 32 takes that I had last time. And so I'm going to try and think backwards and forwards and sideways. So my first take for the Arizona Cardinals is that James Conner will be a bust in redraft and will be overvalued in Dynasty Fantasy Football. I think that a lot of his upside is baked into his touchdown production. And yes, there's a chance that touchdown production repeats in 2022. But I think that, you know, just the mathematics of it are more likely than not his touchdowns will decrease in 2022, which will then result in his value being decreased because he was a bit touchdown dependent in the 2021 season. And so we'll see if he gets an increase in touches or if those touches go elsewhere from the departure of one Chase Edmonds. Our next one is the Atlanta Falcons. So the Atlanta Falcons, they recently acquired Bryan Edwards via trade. And I think that some of the Twitter sphere, some of the Bryan Edwards fans, I think that obviously this is the case with any player that has quote unquote busted or looked poor in his first few seasons, but people cling on to hope, people cling on to that this is the year and all those things with guys like Bryan Edwards. So I might be fighting a straw man here, but I'm going to go out on a gigantic limb and say that this is not the year for Bryan Edwards, that he is appropriately valued as a guy in the late teens of a startup or late teens, even a redraft league, maybe even later than redraft. I think that this offense is going to be dominated by Drake London and Kyle Pitts. They're much more talented than Bryan Edwards. And I think that for the most part, this offense, what you're going to want to do is take the quarterback. I think both Mariota and Ridder are going to be solid for fantasy, nothing too fantastic for real life. And I think that they'll be able to support Drake London and Kyle Pitts, but not much after those two, and Curl Patterson to an extent as well. Next, we have the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears are one of the more high volatility franchises in the NFL and in Dynasty right now. And I think that with Justin Fields, I'm a huge believer in Justin Fields. So I'm leaning on that offense becoming much better than it was in 2021. And I think that people are currently undervaluing two things: David Montgomery's ability, if the offense improves, and also if it doesn't improve, the worst case scenario in Dynasty is, quote unquote, worst case scenario is the Bears have a bad season and then Montgomery walks to a better offense. Obviously there's other worst case scenarios where it's like, okay, they have Justin Fields is terrible, the offense is terrible, and then Montgomery resigns. But basically I'm talking about, I think that if the Bears are a bad offense, I think they aren't likely to go out of their way to re-sign a running back. And so if the offense succeeds, I think that they'll definitely want to try and retain David Montgomery. So I'm in on David Montgomery at his price. He's probably being valued around like a mid first, maybe. I don't see him fetching an early first at this point. And I think that, he has a pretty high floor for, guys that are going around his range. Next, we have the Dallas Cowboys. This might just be an example of I saw one trade happen in one of my leagues, and now I'm overvaluing that one trade happening. But I do think that people are over-assuming the recovery of Michael Gallup. He did have his injury in 2022. So I'd be very surprised if we see him even before midseason. And, with those lower body injuries, you just never know how players are to come back from. So I think that my primary takeaway is that I'm heavy on CeeDee Lamb. He's going to be getting a deluge of targets. I think Schultz slightly benefits from the absence of Michael Gallup and Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama. I'm not like overly, over the moon about a late day two running back or wide receiver, or I guess, around three wide receiver on day two of the NFL draft. I'm not saying go out and smash Jalen Tolbert because Michael Gallup is not going to come back, because I think it's a lot easier to stomach buying Schultz and Lamb at their higher price tags because they aren't as reliant on the Michael Gallup not coming back or not coming back to full strength. I think that Tolbert is a little bit of a bet on the non-recovery of Gallup. So, if I'm in the camp of worried about Gallup's injury, maybe I need to go out and look at some Jalen Tolbert shares. Next, we have the Detroit Lions. I feel like every time that we have an NFL team that is accumulating draft picks, over time, like the Detroit Lions are, they become a common talking point in Dynasty, especially on this podcast. We used to have basically a weekly Brown segment when they had all those first round picks for so many years. But from a redraft perspective, I like in redraft and like a win now perspective, I like Jared Goff. I think that he is going, it's not like there's a threat to his job. It's not like he is going to lose his job in 2021, he's not going to lose his job in 2022. He's not expected to win games for the Detroit Lions, and he is going to have a high volume passing offense with DeAndre Swift and T.J. Hockenson and Jameson Williams and T.J. Chark. This is my other Detroit Lions take. I'm overtaking here. My other Detroit Lions take is, why is D.J. Chark like very low in redraft rankings, redraft ADP, going 13th, 14th round, if not later? I think it's nuts. I think that, you still have the injury to Jameson Williams that could make DJ Chark being the wide receiver one early in the season. Once again, high volume passing offense. So I'm big on DJ Chark, especially in redraft at a very cheap to free price tag. Next, we have the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers. What are we doing with the Green Bay Packers? We are going to completely avoid the backfield. I know it's a common take. Like when you have a complicated backfield, you're just like, I'll let someone else handle it. I'm very much letting someone else handle the A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones backfield for basically one reason. They are both very expensive for a timeshare. Aaron, in redraft at least, he's going in the top three rounds, Aaron Jones. And in Dynasty, I'm assuming he's probably a top five round pick. And AJ Dillon's like a 7th or 8th round pick in redraft and probably a 5th or 6th round pick in dynasty. I would, for me, I would rather pay the premium on one of them when one of them gets hurt than pay for their current price and have to split a backfield like they're going to do. I think that they're going to disappoint some managers because, yes, they're both very good running backs, but they're also both very good running backs and are going to eat into each other's touches. Next, we have the Los Angeles Rams. My take here, I love Allen Robinson, but I do think to an extent we are forgiving the last 2 seasons with the Chicago Bears to where like they didn't exist. They did exist. So I think it would be a mistake to basically say, you know, 2022 Allen Robinson is the same guy who was, you know, catching a bajillion deep passes from Blake Bortles in 2015. I'm not saying I'm, you know, trying to trade every Allen Robinson piece I have or that he's a must sell. But I think that assuming this huge bounce back because he goes from, you know, the Bears situation to the Rams and Matthew Stafford, I think that if you're overinflating his pricing, that's the mistake that you're making. Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings. What do we think about the Minnesota Vikings? We think that Alex Mattison is going to continue being the most overvalued, you know, quote unquote handcuff in all of fantasy football. He has been the, you know, number one handcuff for the last 2 or 3 years. And Dalvin Cook continues to just get all of the touches. And even when Dalvin Cook is out, Madison is fine, but it's not like he's stepping in and being Dalvin Cook. Like maybe people are advertising it when they're taking him in the 10th or 11th round of redraft. All right. I got to speed things up. I got to be out here soon. Okay. New Orleans Saints. I'm starting to buy into the Chris Olave thing a little bit. The more of the uncertainty happens with Michael Thomas, I don't really too much buy into Jarvis Landry in the short or long term. I think that, you know, his time is getting closer to done. And then Jameis Winston, you know, there's some uncertainty with his health, but if Winston ends up being healthy, I think Chris Olave has legitimate like wide receiver 2 ability as early as year 1, assuming Michael Thomas continues to be uncertain health wise. Now we're going to go rapid fire. So before we go into rapid fire, I'm going to tell you about our friends over at Underdog. Underdog Fantasy is the best place to play fantasy football this summer in Underdog Fantasy. Their Best Ball Mania 3 tournament has $10 million in total prize money. And the best part is you draft your fantasy football team and that's it. There's no waivers, no trades, no in-season management. Underdog gives you your best score each week of the season and the highest scores of the end of the year win. Champion of the Best Ball Mania last year was drafted in June. So we're in July. But, you know, you still have time, plenty of time, 2 months left of drafting. There's no time better than now to get into your Underdog draft for your shot at the $1 million draft. Plus, Underdog is going to double your first deposit up to $100 when you sign up with the promo code ROTOVIZ, ROTOVIZ. That's 4 free entries into Best Ball Mania 3 or in any of the other awesome contests that you find over at Underdog. It is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. There is no league management. Make sure that you remember that. Nothing too complicated about that. And Underdog lets you draft your team in just minutes. Sign up with the code ROTOVIZ, ROTOVIZ. You'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash. When you make your first deposit of $10 or more, deposit $100, get $100 free. They have an awesome mobile app. Can't ask for better than that. Make sure you're getting involved with Underdog with your pick'em, with your drafts, everything you need. Underdog is the way to go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here we go. Rapid fire. New York Giants. Here's my take on the New York Giants. People are trying to talk themselves into Daniel Jones, Konami Code, Daniel Jones, still relevant for fantasy. Daniel Jones is terrible. Like, the only good thing about Daniel Jones is he has relative job security for 2022, but I think people are overvaluing his quote-unquote like fantasy floor on a week-to-week basis. He's terrible. He's not good. Hashtag bad. Philadelphia Eagles, Miles Sanders. I'm a big Miles Sanders advocate right now. I think that as the Eagles offense improves with a year or two DeVonta Smith and acquisition of A.J. Brown, offense is only going to get better. And the big thing with Miles Sanders was he had basically, I think he had one touchdown all of 2021. And so that's going to increase. Touchdown aggression is going to be in his favor. And then whether it's with the Eagles or elsewhere, he's going to have a starting job in 2023. So big Miles Sanders fan right now. Next, San Francisco 49ers. Trey Lance is one of the most volatile assets in all of fantasy football. And it's for good reason. He could be a top five quarterback and he could be QB 28. And obviously the other aspect of it is how much is he Jalen Hurts, where it's like, okay, it's good for fantasy top six, top seven, and it's bad for real life. So, you know, I think that Trey Lance obviously has a little bit more job security because he had three first round picks spent on them rather than one second round pick. But yeah, my take is that if you're investing in Trey Lance, you're doing so understanding that you're taking a very high risk. Seattle Seahawks, they are the team that should have traded for Baker Mayfield already. And if not, they're the team that should be tanking. So either tank or go for Baker. But also we talked about over and over and over, Tyler Lockett, they should trade him. I'm not a cap expert, but we got to figure out how to get Tyler Lockett out of Seattle, maybe even ideally into Green Bay. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We talked a little about the tight end situation recently with Gronk being jettisoned. My take for now is going to be on the Buccaneers. I think that Rachaad White managers who are hoping for him to have 2022 relevancy may end up being disappointed. I think that, you know, hopefully it's not a Keyshawn Vaughn situation, but I think that we've seen enough that the Bucs are going to rely on those veteran running backs before the rookies more often than not. And so I do like White's long-term upside, but I wouldn't count on too much in 2022. Next, we have Washington Commanders. Carson Wentz is bad. Terry McLaurin is good. I don't think it really is going to impact Terry McLaurin. He's consistently had bad quarterback play. I think that the number one thing for Terry McLaurin managers is just hoping for a new quarterback once again in 2023. Baltimore Ravens. My take here is that Lamar Jackson will be a top three fantasy quarterback again. I think that the rushing upside is going to be there. You have Rashad Bateman coming into his own. Yes, you lost Marquise Hollywood Brown, but you have Mark Andrews. So I think that, you know, they're in a position as an offense with a healthy J.K. Dobbins, hopefully, to be able to succeed in 2022. And that's my opinion on that one. Buffalo Bills, Dawson Knox. I like Dawson Knox as a talent, but I think that people are highly overvaluing his touchdown upside, thinking that it's just going to repeat, you know, some double-digit touchdowns each and every year. I think that's highly unlikely statistically. So I'm fading Dawson Knox in redraft. I'm fine with him in Dynasty because that Bills offense is going to be scoring touchdowns for many years. But if you can upgrade from Dawson Knox into one of those guys that we talked about in Tier 2 last week, that would be a move that I'd be trying to make. Next, with the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, I think that this offense continues to grow. It's not any sort of hot take here that Ja'Marr Chase is good, is great. T. Higgins is very good. And Boyd is just your consistent veteran. So what's my take here? My take is that the people who think that Hayden Hurst stinks it doesn't matter. Hayden Hurst is just as good as CJ Uzomah, so he's going to be probably a mid tight end two, high end tight end two. So yeah, I'm fine with investing in Hayden Hurst as a tight end two in redraft or in dynasty if you need, you know, some sort of a carousel. Cleveland Browns. My current take is that Deshaun Watson doesn't play in 2022. I still think there's a decent chance that he does play in 2022 and then doesn't play in 2023, but really nobody knows. And I am currently in a hold scenario where I'm not buying or selling anyone in that Browns offense because the moment a decision comes down, like even just the clarity of it's a 1-year suspension, it's a 2-year suspension, whatever it is, that is going to boost the value of like everybody essentially. I obviously, if it's a 2-year suspension, that's terrible news for Mari Cooper. But I think that in general, once it's clear when you can expect to have Deshaun Watson back, then I think that things will start to open up in that Browns offense. Next, we have the Denver Broncos. Sometimes there's buy high. Sometimes there's guys who increase in value and like it's justified. I think both Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are huge buy highs. And I think that Albert O early to midseason could easily be a sell high because I'm not a huge believer in his long-term talent, but I think that he has the opportunity now. But I think people are somewhat undervaluing the Greg Dulcich, draft pick. So I like Albert O in redraft to an extent. I think that he's solid, but I think that he could go from, you know, appropriately valued to overvalued very quickly. Houston Texans. I think that Davis Mills advocates are overvaluing the likelihood that Davis Mills is the 2023 Texans starting quarterback. Indianapolis Colts. I don't know what to do with the Indianapolis Colts because Matt Ryan hasn't been good in Atlanta in recent years, but he still has been better than Carson Wentz and Phillip Rivers and Jacoby Brissett. So I think that the pieces of Pittman and really, that's it, right? Who am I forgetting? Oh, Pittman and Alec Pierce and Jonathan Taylor. Like, I think they're fine for now, and I think that in the long term, they'll eventually get a replacement. The Colts have been struggling with that concept pretty much ever since Luck retired. Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Christian Kirk is very undervalued in redraft for the amount of targets he's going to get. Kansas City Chiefs, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I'm not like saying anything novel here, but in best ball, I love Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think that he is going to have his, just like he did with Aaron Rodgers, he's going to have his fair share of 50-plus yard touchdowns. And obviously that's great for best ball. So if you can, you know, spend a fourth-round pick on Valdes-Scantling, that's definitely something I would do. Look, and the dynasty advice portion of this would be, look at the Valdes-Scantling manager in your league and make an offer now, but even more so, like when roster cutdowns coming around the bend, that's probably a guy who's going to be on that border. So, you know, try and acquire him for as cheap as possible during that roster cutdown for a future fourth or a third for Valdes-Scantling and a fourth, something like that. Las Vegas Raiders. My take on this is Darren Waller. The reason why I was hesitant-ish to put him in tier two last week was that with Darren Waller, a lot of it has been target dependent. And I've been like, oh, how long are these targets going to last? And they have lasted because the Raiders haven't really had much of the wide receiver position. Now they have Devontae Adams, Derek Carr's former college teammate, underreported. and so I'm not sure how he will sustain those targets once Devontae Adams has entered the offense. Los Angeles Chargers. I talked about Gerald Everett being a little bit overvalued. It's kind of hard for a guy with that little value to be overvalued, but I think that people are going to extrapolate and be like, oh, he did this with his targets and that and this happens. But in general, I think that I would rather, you know, pay up for Mike Williams or Keenan Allen than try and, you know, find the cheaper option of Gerald Everett. Miami Dolphins. So I talked about, you know, the volatility of Trey Lance and the 49ers. I think Tua is in prove it or don't prove it time with the Miami Dolphins. And so essentially I think that Tua is either going to be like a second round startup pick in 2023 in Superflex, or he's going to be like a 12th round starter pick. Like, I think it's a high volatility for Tua. I still think Tua is good, so I hope we're on the second round scale, but I am very much cognizant of that 12th round possibility. Among the Patriots, Mac Jones is one of the safest assets in fantasy football. I think that he has that long-term Patriots job. I don't think that he has an enormous ceiling, but in Superflex, a lot of the game is like just making sure that you have a starting quarterback. So barring injury, I think Mac Jones is one of the safest guys to be a long-term starter where he's at. Zach Wilson, I'm big on buying Zach Wilson right now. I think that his upside is huge with Garrett Wilson and the progression of Elijah Moore. So big buying on Zach Wilson right now. Two more, Pittsburgh Steelers. What's our Pittsburgh Steelers take? My Pittsburgh Steelers take is that George Pickens easily supplants Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool, not according to him. Chase Claypool thinks he's the third best wide receiver in the NFL. He's not even the third best wide receiver. I mean, he might be the best wide receiver on the Steelers. But I think that Deion Johnson will still be getting a heavy amount of targets. But George Pickens, I think, is going to be a very solid, red zone guy for the Pittsburgh Steelers, along with Freiermuth. So the young guys, I think, will propel them in the red zone, whether it be with Trubisky or Pickett. Last take is the Tennessee Titans. We saw, even despite them having the best record in the AFC, we saw some regression from Tannehill from a statistical point of view in 2022 or 2021. And then you take away, granted, AJ Brown was in and out of the lineup, but now you take away AJ Brown completely. And I'm very worried about their passing game. And honestly, I'm even a bit worried about Derrick Henry, not because I don't think Derrick Henry's going to be fine in terms of his abilities. Like, what's going to happen when there is little to no threat of a deep threat with Tennessee Titans and they're able to put, eight or nine in the box. So it's hard because they've all lost value, but I would be selling the Tennessee Titans offense if at all possible, because I think it might be rough in the post AJ Brown era. Yes, Treylon Burks is good. I'm a big fan of his, but I'll be honest, it's one of those that it's going to come back to bite me saying this out loud, but I do have some concerns with the endurance stuff that's come out with the asthma and all those different things. I think it is a legitimate concern. And I think it's even more of a concern early on where he has to, practice and get those reps in order to, earn those targets within the game. And I think that's something that's going to be important for Mike Vrabel in order for him to trust Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill to trust Treylon Burks to get those receptions. So I'm out on the Tennessee Titans offense in 2022, but I still do like Treylon Burks in the future. That should wrap us up for this week. Make sure to like and subscribe, and rate and review the podcast, all those fun things. And make sure to use promo code RVRadio 2022, get a 10% discount on the Rotoviz subscription, and promo code Rotoviz, ROTOVIZ, on Underdog to get 100% deposit match up to $100. That should do it for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Kadoosh!